Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Martinez scores!
It's time for our Monday Atlanta United recap with 92.9 The Game soccer analyst Jason Longshore on Dukes and Bell.
Jason, of course, is brought to you by Heineken. Heineken 0.0, great taste. Zero alcohol. We are Dukes and Bell. Happy Monday, everybody. We'll get back into some NFL news and notes coming up at the top of the hour at 3 o'clock, including the latest on Antonio Brown, which this saga continues. Right now, let's talk to Jason about last night's win and what it means. And Jason, first and foremost, how significant was this for our team that seemingly couldn't win on the road, and then you go into this environment, and not only do you win, you win in dramatic fashion, in the sense that I thought we had this game in hand, especially after the second goal.
Let's go a step further. How significant was this last week? You beat your number one contender in the Eastern Conference, NYC, at the Benz to start the week. Then you beat Club America in the Campeones Cup, the first time an MLS club has won that. And then you go across the country to Portland and kind of just handle your business. I mean, the Timbers had some chances. Brad Kazan had to make a couple massive saves in this one. But every time Atlanta attacked, it looked dangerous.
Jason, couldn't agree more. And that's like, with the exception of those mental lapses on defense, it was like dominant. And I just thought, you know, the technical side of it, we just looked technically superior. They were screwing up, missing passes, kicking it out of bounds. And we looked like we're at another level at times in that match, in their own building.
Yeah, this is one of the things that Darren Eales and Carlos Bocanegra, everyone involved in the scouting department at Atlanta United, has prioritized from day one. They want soccer players. They're going to figure positions out. They're going to move pieces around. They'll figure out what a formation looks like. But you want guys who can play, and guys who can play the game fast. And if you go back and look at that Timbers match last night, Atlanta United swung the ball from left to right, right to left, like it was nothing. And that's long passes, because that's a special technique that you have to have. You have to have the control to bring it down, but also quick, short passes to go side to side. It wasn't just one way of playing all night long. You had a little bit of everything, and you also had a number of successful dribbles. And this is something that Atlanta United has emphasized more in 2019. You're creating these 1v1 opportunities, and when you have players like Darlington Nagbe, Pitty Martinez, Justin Merrim, who can break defenders down on the dribble, you're going to create even more opportunities.
It is Jason Longshore, analyst for our Atlanta United. We went 2-0 over Portland last night, guys. The LGP goal, right place, right time. I mean, he scores his first goal of the season, and everybody's like, who scored?
Well, part of it is the delivery from Pitty Martinez on the ball to Joseph at the near post. First, how Joseph Martinez is getting to the near post and getting a touch, I have no idea. The Timbers are going to have to look at that one on film. But LGP, just, he is in the right place at the right time to finish it. But big picture is Atlanta, as the year has gone on, has gotten more dangerous on set pieces. They've added a few different wrinkles or doing some different things. And it's just one of those things that when you have a new coaching staff and you're working on philosophy and style and different tactics, set pieces become a little bit lower priority early on. As the year has gone on, we're seeing the team put more time to it, and you're seeing the results.
It is our man Jason Longshore, guys, at Longshore on Twitter. He is the answer man. Look at this, right after a cross-country flight, and here he is with us, talking about Atlanta United.
Oh, no, I haven't even flown cross-country yet. I'm at the airport in Portland.
It makes it sound better. He's been here on an all-night travel, Carl. Planes, trains, and automobiles, and he's still here to grind one out. Brought to you by Heineken 0.0, Great Taste Zero Alcohol. All right, man, I don't want to focus on the negative, but the refs, the pro refs that we use for MLS, tell me if I'm right or wrong about the Pitty Martinez, and why wouldn't he get a penalty kick out of that one?
I wish I knew. There's not an explanation. I mean, it looked like a penalty live to me. You have video assistant referees for a reason. It felt like an obvious one to look at. One thing that has been interesting, the deeper I've dug into video assistant referees and how they're implemented in different parts of the world, there's wide variety in how leagues use it and how the structure works. A lot of leagues use a centralized location as opposed to a video assistant referee at the stadium. I think that's something that would help Major League Soccer. The other is the argument back and forth about going to the screen to look at it. Now, it does take more time, and that's one big criticism of VAR, is that it adds time to the game. It breaks up the flow of the game. But on a situation like that one where everybody in the building, Portland fans included, think it's going to be a penalty, and you review it but you don't go take a look, it's hard to sell that call to the players. And you saw Atlanta United very frustrated from then until the time they got into the locker room because everybody wanted to have a conversation with Armando Villarreal. That feels like one that going to the monitor to have a look would not have hurt anything to do with that.
Jason, we don't talk about it a lot, but how good was Brad Guzan?
Stepped up big when you needed him. I mean, the save on the header and the one where he takes a step to the right, goes back to the left low. Portland tweeted it out. When they're tweeting it out and showing frustration about a goalkeeper save from the other side,
right,
that tells you how big of a save it is. And Brad Guzan, look, he's a guy who Atlanta doesn't give up a ton of shots. They're one of the best defensive teams in the league. But when you need him, he's there, always.
It is our man Jason Longshore here, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Unbelievable match, great win for United. Arguably the most complete win of the season in a hostile environment, at against a team at full strength. Talk about the defense, and I know that Justin Miram is a guy that's more of the middle to the front, to use like football analogy, more of an attacker. But how about the way they're using Miram and the way Miles Robinson came up? I thought, I got to be honest, Pogba at first was driving me crazy, but he came on strong in the second half. What do you think of the back line?
Backline was good. Had some moments, especially in the first half, had some moments that they struggled to deal with, but that's to be expected on the road against a team in Portland that averages 20 shots a game at home. They're dominant in that building. They put Atlanta under pressure. And what Atlanta did, the two things that I really liked is, one, you saw great communication as the night went on, and Brad Guzan was a really big part of this. He called Justin Miram over, had a conversation. Called Florentine Pogba over, had a conversation, made sure that the marking, the defensive responsibilities were tight. But also the flip side is, look, the way Atlanta was going to hurt Portland in this match was to be direct in a lot of ways and go at Portland's center backs. They were missing Larrys Mabiala. They had a reserve in there in Bill Twiloma. It was very shaky. Every time Atlanta went straight at the Portland back line, they struggled. So another way, instead of dropping numbers back to defend deep, another way to make a team back off is to put pressure on them. That's something Atlanta did really well last night.
I thought we handled the physicality. To Mike's point about the refs, sometimes you just got to play through, right? What did you think about the way, especially this match started out, and the physicality, the slide tackling that was going on? I thought we responded well. I mean, obviously we're going to say, hey, we need calls, and you saw our stars putting their hands in the air, but every star does that in MLS.
Yeah, every star does that around the world. I mean, there's an element in any of these games where you are trying to work to a degree. You're talking to them constantly. You're pointing things out like, hey, I got hit from behind here. Hey, I got kicked here. If you don't get the first call, you're trying to get a call later in the match. That's all part of the game. It's part of the business here. But Atlanta in the second half, I thought, really just dealt with the kind of uneven nature of it. And the thing about Villarreal, when I say uneven, he doesn't like to call a lot of fouls. He was 22nd out of 24 referees coming into it in terms of just calling fouls per game. He doesn't like to blow the whistle very much. And it was really hard to find that rhythm because the game got physical and he had to call some fouls. But it was just choppy. Atlanta second half just played as fast as they could, and it threw Portland off.
It is our man, Jason Longshore, brought to you by Heineken 0.0. We've talked about this wild journey, Jason, all season long. We've talked about the CONCACAF schedule, the compressed schedule, how we looked dead in the water back in March, too, as you talked about earlier, buying into the system, having the time to implement the system and do all the work. I mean, it just looks like now I want a piece of LAFC because I think us versus LAFC in a championship match, I think we got some unfinished business against those guys. Question is, are we going to be able to hold on to this first place lead in the East?
Well, you're going to get some big tests coming up in the next week. This last week was a big test for Atlanta, but look ahead. You have Orlando, which would love nothing more than to pick up their first win here because that would put them in a playoff spot. And Orlando is a solid team. Maybe Mauricio Pereira, their new number 10, can take them more than that. We'll have to wait and see. Then you come back, you have an Open Cup final against Minnesota, who's in their first major final. Then you go to Philadelphia, who's the other top team in the East right now. This is a big measuring stick coming up this week. The team is coming off of a great week, but they have to find even another gear to get through what's coming up.
You know, Mike, there's nothing like flying first class from the West Coast back home. Jason, enjoy that meal and those drinks on the plane, all right?
I'll look for some Hey Man Ale.
Right on, brother.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.